G'day guys, welcome back to another episode of the Inner City Hermit Podcast. As I always say, you know the drill, if you enjoy the content, go over to YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, make sure you subscribe. If you love it, leave a five-star review. If you don't love it, just lie, leave a five-star review and tell me how shit it is in the comment, I guess, but just leave five stars. If you want to go over to Instagram and Facebook at Inner City Hermit, you'll find me posting on there pretty regularly. And if you want to reach out there too, feel free. I answer all the messages. So get around that, guys. We did it. Good stuff. My guests or guests today were a couple boys from Perth, actually. I sort of branched out. We did a bit of an interstate podcast. I was chatting to Marvin and Nathan, who are part of the Double Shot Connection podcast. Came across these boys during the week. They reached out and sort of were asking me a couple questions, telling me that they liked my content. So I gave their content a listen, and I really love what they're doing. They're just two genuine blokes starting a podcast together. Just chatting about stories, chatting about travel, and sort of touching on some subjects like mental health as well, which is really important nowadays, I definitely think, especially for guys talking about emotions and stuff like that. So I had an unreal time talking to these boys. Seriously, have all the time in the world for them. And you know, if you haven't if you enjoy the podcast, please go check them out. They've got three episodes at the moment, and it's really good. It's great fun, and that's what podcasting's about. So without further ado, head over. What am I heading over to? Why did I say that? Without further ado, let's get this episode started. Marvin and Nathan from Double Shot Connection. Let's go. G'day guys. Welcome back to another episode of the Inner City Hermit Podcast. I'm joined today by two Perth locals. I know I'm breaking the tradition. I like to keep it local, but these two boys, I couldn't not have you guys on because what you guys are doing is phenomenal. We have Nathan and Marvin. Did I get that right?
You did. Yes. Good one,
yes,
mate.
First go. We probably should have sorted that out, but we had a mad amount of technical difficulties coming into this one. So it was good fun. I think we started about 20 minutes ago and we've only just started recording now, so it's all good. But I'm sitting down with the boys from the Double Shot Connection. How are you, fellas?
Yeah, we're good. How are you?
Excellent, mate. Excellent. I feel like we're finally coming to the end of this long, long battle of Corona. I feel positive. I feel great. I'm talking to you boys. I don't know. Life's getting back on track, which is really good. How about for you boys?
Yeah, life's definitely getting back on track. I've been following the Queensland news a little bit, but in Perth, we're sort of slowly lifting restrictions. I think as of May 18th, cafes can open back up. They're allowing a 20-person limit, so it's on the way up. How about you guys in Brizzy?
You guys are definitely way further ahead than us. We've got, I think by Friday we're opening up the restrictions that you can have like up to 10 people in a restaurant at a time. So I don't know, man. It's really sketch with that because I guess, you know, how much revenue or how much money can you make off 10 people and what's that going to look like as a restaurant? So it's interesting talking to a whole bunch of people about, you know, what their perspective is on it. And even just talking to you boys from Perth, like that, it's so different, yet we're all on the same freaking continent. So it's such an odd sort of time, hey?
Yeah, and it's funny because we always cop a lot being from Perth saying, oh, how far behind are you guys? You guys are the nanny state. And here we are ahead of the times with the COVID restrictions. How good is that?
Mate, killing it. I love it. But I'm just glad everything's sort of going back to normal as much as it can be. And I guess I feel good seeing a lot of people that I guess have kind of been out of work for so long, being able to get back into it, which is fantastic too. So that's always a positive. Yeah. So I got you boys on because I pretty much, well, I guess it's the same as every person I get on the podcast. I love what you guys are doing. So in the Double Shot Connection, it's just like, I'm going to let you guys explain it, but like, I'm a massive advocate for what you're doing. It's very similar to what I'm doing, and it's to see others doing the same thing as me and really enjoying it. And like, I've listened to you boys for the last week and you know, you genuinely seem like you enjoy it, which is so awesome to sort of I guess, meet and have a chat with more like-minded people. So what is the Double Shot Connection?
I'll let Marvin go into it first.
Let's do it.
Yeah, so I guess Nath and I started this, it's only about 3 weeks ago.
Three episodes deep,
and talking about all the COVID stuff and the corona virus. So obviously the last 6 weeks, 7 weeks, there's been a lot of restrictions in Queensland and WA and all around Australia. And in that time, we just spent a lot of even more time than usual together because there hasn't been too much more to do. And we set ourselves a bit of a challenge. We said we'd like to do something new, something that we haven't done before over that space. And I guess one of the things that we were chatting about is doing a podcast. We have a lot of good conversations, and through the podcast, it's mentioned that we've done a bit of traveling, and we've always kind of thought, oh, why not kind of spread out what we always chat about when we go traveling, or even when we catch up on a week-to-week basis. And yeah, there's some really interesting conversations, real open conversations. And
that's one thing that you guys mentioned that I really resonated with, was that, you know, you didn't want to fabricate anything. Everything was just honest. Like, and a lot of your stories that you were telling, they're not like, you know, the most, you know, like, oh, everything went well, everything was perfect story. They're just like honest, proper stories. And I think that's why I sort of resonated so much listening, because I was like, shit, like these guys, I had the same problems when I was traveling, or I came into the same situations and that sort of stuff, which is, it's really refreshing to hear, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And going back to what you're sort of saying about resonating, bit of a fangirl moment here, going back to 2019, listening to Inner City Hermit's first podcast.
Oh, no way. That's awesome.
Yeah, mate. I guess, yeah, similar thing. You were going into, you know, why you started. And the interesting thing is there's a lot of layers to it, you know. It's not just about, you know, I guess we do tell personal stories, but it's not just about us. It is about everyone. We do want to be all inclusive and, you know, encourage and promote to be open, share your feelings. You actually feel better. And I think, you know, other reasons, and correct me if I'm wrong here, mate, if I listen to your podcast well enough, but even going to factors like you always wanted to start a business, you believed in yourself, you had a voice, you wanted to put it out there, but you never put it into actions. Those are all similar reasons why Marvin and I wanted to do it as well. It's also about the people, but it's also about personal growth too. And we feel that we have something to offer, and we want to put it out there. Wouldn't you agree, Marv?
Yeah, definitely. And something else you said as well, that if you could look back, I think I was listening, it would have been episode one or two, if you could look back and started your podcast a few years earlier, you definitely would recommend to an 18, 19, 20-year-old to get on board and do it. And I guess in saying that, we were kind of like, oh, if not now, then when? So we just jumped on. We're a bit older than you as well, so we're both 27 this year. So yeah, like, but yeah. Let's do it.
Hey, man, I always look at, you know, someone like, and, you know, I guess he's always going to be the one that gets brought up in that, like Joe Rogan, but he didn't start his podcast, man, till he was like what, he's 50 something now. He would have started when he was like 40 something, you know, and like hearing, I guess, him in his podcast say like, you know, everyone should have one. Everyone should have their own free platform where they can be themselves and sort of, you know, do whatever they want within reason. And I sort of got to a point where sort of like you boys, and I guess I feel really happy that like I was that push, that, not tooting my own horn here, that you guys sort of needed to start it, because there's a lot of stigma around starting sort of your own podcast. I guess a lot of people have that like, oh, you know, why do you think you're so important, or why do you think this or that, or... But if you genuinely love the platform, which, you know, I do, and, you know, listening to you boys talk, I can sense that you genuinely love good conversations. And I think that's when you have that genuine love for that connection, it's only going to be beneficial. Like, I don't think anyone realistically starts a podcast to make money. Like, there's not really, being honest, that's it. There's not money in it. It's not like, you know, you're a rapper or something and there's a record deal down the way or something like that. But having that pure form of conversation is, like you said, it's so healthy. And you know, I'll find I'll come out of conversations, whether it be with myself or even, you know, with you guys. Like, I was so excited to come home today and just say, yep, look, I'm going to sit down with a coffee, have a chat to two like-minded blokes. And that was exciting. That got me through the day. And, you know, you can't take that. That's not worth money. That's just so pure and just awesome. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And talking about getting you through the day, another plug of one of your, I can't remember the episode number, but I do remember listening that you don't like domestic travel. Is that right?
Oh, mate, I fucking hate domestic travel. I hate any, and you know what? There was the story that you told. I don't know. I can't remember where you were, but you had to catch the train somewhere. And you were like, I fucking hate catching the train. I don't want to be lodged in with people. And that was a moment where I was like, yes, same. I hate being close to people. Like, the best thing that's ever come around this COVID thing is the fact that people are staying 1.5 meters away from me. And it's fantastic. I'm not one for like close. Ugh, I'm a sweaty person as it is. I don't need to be more sweaty, you know?
Yeah. So going back to the not liking domestic travel, given that you like what we do, and is that enough for you to want to eventually take a domestic travel and visit us once? Is there a possibility there?
I would be very, very keen. If you guys are happy to have me, I've actually never been to Perth. It's a fair flight. It's actually, I think the closest I've ever come to going to Perth is hanging out in Bali with everybody who's from Perth. That's the closest I've been to going to Perth. I usually sit around it in like a bar at Bali and I'll be having a beer. I'll be like, where are you from? Oh, Perth. Oh, where? Oh, Perth. Oh, okay. Are you all from Perth, or like, what's the go? Like, what's the go there? Why? I guess it's how cheap are flights to Bali from Perth?
Yeah, it's super cheap. There's a running joke here that Bali's just an extra suburb from Perth, basically.
Bali and Rottnest Island. It's cheaper Bali to go to Rottnest. Bali than to go to Rottnest, yeah.
Yeah, well, I look at Brisbane, mate. Like, I can go down the coast and, like, I live in Brisbane. Gold Coast is a stone, so maybe a 30-minute drive if I'm driving, that's probably underestimating, but like a 45-minute trip, and I have to pay, like, $800 to stay there for a week. And I'm like, I could just drive down here every day and get the same thing out of it. Like, yeah, but, boys, if you are happy to have me, if you're happy to have this long-haired idiot in your house, I'd definitely be keen. I'd love it. Any sort of podcasting trip, man, I'm so down.
Yeah, we're keen, although what's your opinion of Perth? Because we have a few stories from our travels that we will reveal to you, but firstly, we want to know what your opinion of Perth is.
Ooh. Do you want me to base my opinion of Perth based on the people I talk to in Bali?
No. go.
look, you know, there's a lot of, I would assume that you guys drink loads of beer. All of you work in the mines and, you go to Bali every 6 weeks with your family. That's what I would assume. That's my knowledge of Perth. So if you're willing to dispel that myth, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah. So before we dispel that myth, I'll get Marv to tell you a story, actually, funnily enough, of some guys that we met in Brizzy. And he'll tell you what they thought of us people in Perth.
Oh, very keen. Go.
Oh, I was gonna dispel your myth quickly as well before we go into the story. I was gonna say I don't drink beer. I drink like vodka lime sodas.
Oh yeah, the old Michelle Bridges, keeping it slim.
The skinny bitches or whatever they call it.
My old man's actually switched to vodka lime and soda now, and he thinks he's still fat as, but he still likes to think he's so much. He still likes to think he's better than everyone else when I crack a tinny and he's like, yes, I'm just going to have my vodka lime and soda. I'm like, righto, mate. Yeah.
Yeah. But then he'll eat a pizza. I'll have a vodka lime soda, but I'll eat a pizza with it.
Yeah.
I don't work in mining. I work in mental health and I think I've been to Bali once. So I think I'm the furthest
there you
away
go.
From...
And I've never been to Bali at all.
Oh, is it like a pride thing? Is it like, I can't go to Bali. I don't want to be one of those people in Bali.
Yeah, I just don't see the attraction. I mean, people go to Bali because it's cheap, but I'd rather go to like Vietnam, Thailand, somewhere like that.
For sure. I guess for me, it's sort of just that, you know, when you've only got like a week and you're like, I don't want to organize. It's new. It's like not new to me. I could just go there, chill out, do nothing for a week and then leave. And that's sort of my go in Bali. Sorry, my dog's just coughing right next to me. My dog's just, if you hear any coughing, it's just my dog.
Oh, your dog. Oh, they said your girlfriend.
Mate, she would murder me if she heard me call her that.
No, I thought you said girlfriend. Sorry, the audio quality.
It's the Perth audio quality.
Yeah. Perth audio. Yeah, I heard you guys only have 2G over there. It's all right.
Oh, that's a perfect segue into the story.
Oh, yeah, perfect. So we were staying in a hostel in Sri Lanka and we met two guys from Brisbane. Could you remind me of their names?
One bloke's name was Joe and the other bloke's name was Lewis, yeah.
So, yeah, was Joe the bigger guy?
Yeah, with the dreads, yeah.
So Joe definitely sounds like a bigger bloke.
Yeah, big bloke from Brisbane. I think he was in the mines, actually.
Funnily enough. Rolls reverse, go for it.
And then Lewis was his, yeah, surfy-looking, real skinny, Chris Hemsworth kind of looking bloke, you know, really attractive. And we were playing a game at this hostel. There was probably 30, 40 people there, big game. And what was the game? It was
spin the bottle, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. And
yeah,
they having a bit of a go at us, Perth blokes, and they go, oh, in Australia, there's a bit of a story. If you're from Perth or WA, they still don't have TVs there yet. So they're telling everyone in the hostel, you know, people from South America, in the USA, the US people, very gullible. And they're like, really? No TVs? So we kind of played along a bit. Yeah, we're like, no TVs, no internet. I think internet's, they're thinking of installing it in like 10, 15 years time. Not really on the cards yet.
Oh, we're cavemen, wow. Basically.
Yeah.
Oh, mate. Well, actually, funny that I've actually got a story about, I literally just remembered it right then because it's actually on a mate of mine's podcast. He was actually talking about it, but they do this segment where it's called Gumtree Call Up. And anyway, what you do is they pretty much, two blokes will, so my mate Darcy and his mate Klutzy, who run the podcast, they'll pretty much find an item on like for sale on Gumtree and they'll give the number, and they actually do it live on the podcast. They'll give the number of the guy to the guest and the guest has to call the number and just by conversating with the person has to guess what the item that is for sale is. And anyway, but they had a bit of issues with it because the guys kept like calling the phone, answering the phone and being like, oh yeah, no, it's, yeah, I'm just selling this. And then it kind of ruined the joke. So what they did was they said, okay, we're going to change it up. We found this bloke in Perth. He sells alpacas, right? And you're going to call him and you're going to create a story about like buying an alpaca, right? And saying like, where are you? And all that sort of stuff. And anyway, so he's going, okay, sweet, I'll do that. It rings up. And anyway, so he's talking to this guy with the alpacas, right? And he says, look, my son, he loves giraffes, but we can't buy him a giraffe. So we bought him a golden retriever and the golden retriever is a no-go. He's not interested in it. So I was wondering, could we buy one of your alpacas and spray paint it the same color as a giraffe and make a mini giraffe? And this dude's reaction was fucking priceless, man. Like, probably I can't even explain it. Just this, the ideal way that someone who breeds like an animal as weird as an alpaca is, it was just silence, and it was just like, I think he sort of thought about it in his brain, like, I still could get a sale here. So he was kind of going on with it for a little bit. And I was just like, what are the odds from that, after recording that podcast, I get you boys on who are from Perth? You boys don't know any alpaca. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, the guy who was doing it, he sort of wigged out a bit. He's like, oh, whereabouts in Perth are you from? And he goes, oh, just from the west. Not thinking that Perth is the most western part of fucking Australia. And he's like, and the guy was like, oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. And I was like, where could possibly be west than Perth? Like, west than Perth. I don't understand it. But it was fucking hilarious. It was so good. But yeah, I guess similar to sort of the story, like, you know, like, I guess it's just funny how everything sort of comes together like that. Like, you know, you're from Perth, telling stories about Perth. I've got that story that's just sort of popped up. So it's like,
yeah,
it seems like a sort of a small world in a small world.
Triple shot connection today. Yeah.
Triple shot. I did mention at the start of the podcast, I changed out my tinny. It's not a double shot because I know you boys always like to talk about what coffee you're drinking. This is a terribly made Woolworths, I think it's instant coffee. So not the usual double shot, but yeah.
That'll do the job.
Yeah, mate. Like I said, I'll be up all night now, so lucky I got some work to do. So you mentioned that you work in, sorry to talk about work, but you just sort of sparked my sort of interest. You said you worked in mental health. What's sort of your background there?
Yeah, so I work in mental health. I did a bit of traveling. I think I mentioned on the podcast a few years ago, I did a bit of traveling around Europe, and that kind of sparked my, I did accounting before that.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it.
Yeah. You said you can understand why some people, sorry, this is me sort of fanboying over you boys. You said sort of like you understand why people like it, but it just wasn't for you, or?
Yeah, we've got like, so Nathan and I have a lot of mates who do it, and I think we gave them a bit of a hard time, didn't we, Nathan?
Yeah, we essentially called them uninteresting people.
Squares.
But we love them. We love them.
We love them as much as they love Excel spreadsheets.
Yeah, mate. I can never do Excel spreadsheets. I got a bloke at work who's an absolute freak at Excel spreadsheets, and I sit there like, what the fuck is going on here? How do I calculate this shit?
So
how did you sort of fall into the mental health realm?
Yeah, sorry. So I went off a bit whilst I was traveling, there was kind of that real big push. I think it was a few years ago, 2016, on social media, you know, how every now and then there's a kind of like a bit of a push around mental health awareness, which is good because it destigmatizes it. And there was a big push on male mental health. So I kind of was thinking about that and thinking as a young bloke, knowing a lot of guys around my age. So back then I was about 22, 23. Who don't feel real comfortable in talking about their own mental health. I found that quite interesting in the sense that I was like, as someone who can relate to it, you know, in that mental health field, there's a lot of people who work in it who are older females. And as, you know, me, you and Nathia were like younger, we don't necessarily relate to that so much. So I decided to come home after the trip and study community services with a focus on mental health. And by studying a diploma for a year, I got a job at a not-for-profit that focuses on service delivery for mental health. And in that role, I was running sports programs, actually.
That's awesome.
That. Yeah, so sports programs and recreation programs. So, yeah, physical activity and all that kind of stuff. As a way of like a non-clinical way of dealing with mental health. So instead of just taking medication, go out and, you know, we all know it, going for a walk or going for a swim or going for a surf, whatever activity you like, and just is one aspect of, you know, tackling mental health and making sure you're in a good headspace, as well as social connections. So running art groups, coffee groups, all this kind of stuff to the community. I just love working within the community, and it's something that really resonates with me having. And then I can then go on and have conversations with my friends, you know, when they ask me, what do I do and all this kind of stuff. And it makes guys, younger guys feel comfortable. Not all of the time, but sometimes, as I said, it destigmatizes.
Yeah, definitely, man. That's so awesome. And, you know, like coming from someone who has sort of like, you know, my old man has like some mental health issues in terms of like he has bipolar. So from a young age, I was sort of dealing with that. And I think one of the reasons why he sort of didn't deal with it too much is he kept it bottled up inside because he sort of grew up with the mentality of, you know, oh, like you got to be tough, you got to be a man, you got to be this, you got to be that. And I think that's one thing that, you know, my old man really instilled in me as, you know, someone who deals with anxiety and stuff like that as well. Like I pretty much started this podcast like because it helps me deal with my anxiety, being able to talk through things like that. And I think that's, you know, working in that, you know, and coming from someone who, like, as a teacher who I work with, you know, young, angry boys who have shit going on. And to hear, you know, someone like a young bloke who's really committed to that sort of thing is, it's something that's, it's on the change. You know what I mean? Like it really is. There is a big movement in, like there's Black Dog and all that. There's a big movement in men's mental health. And, you know, seeing a lot of my friends and, you know, you guys, like, you know, I just met yous and I'm already like willing to sort of share my story and talk about those sort of touchy subjects. And they're such tough but really important conversations, you know what I mean? So hearing you so passionate about it is so awesome, man. It's really cool.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Appreciate that. Yeah.
Do you think that was that sort of a little bit of I feel sorry, Nathan. I promise I'll get back to you, brother. But do you feel as though Marv, that that had sort of like a, you know, you had a push to do the podcast because of that sort of that passion behind talking about mental health?
Yeah, no, definitely. I definitely felt that for sure. Yeah, it was a bit confusing as well. And it's interesting you say that, because I kind of, even now, like we're three episodes in, so we're still kind of finding our feet. And I reckon on that last episode that Nathan and I just did, on that episode three, really, we went for 50 minutes and we did really well in that sense. But yeah, I kind of sometimes in two minds, like how much do I speak about that and how much not to, because at the same time, it's like, it's really important to have those conversations and be open about that. However, like, yeah, I don't want it to like just revolve around that. And I just kind of wanted to keep it as like that open space. But it's also, yeah, you're right, it's really important to converse about it. But yeah, so I guess finding the balance.
Yeah, 100%, man.
Yeah, because you don't want to go on and on about it because people are like, oh, yeah, you know, yeah, we get it kind of thing. But then also, like, where's the line that you, you don't want to not acknowledge it and speak about it, because that is kind of our purpose, about having those open conversations. And part of that, yeah, as you said, verbalizing any thoughts in your head is great to ease anxiety and all these kind of stuff. But yeah, so
yeah, yeah, for that, sure, it was, man, a push. Man, I love that, and I definitely totally understand with you guys in that, like, you know, you want to talk about it, but you don't want it to be the overarching sort of thing around the whole thing. Like, you want people to come there as an escape, sort of like a, you know, it's they're free. They're free to think and feel how they want, but it's not the sole focus. Like, and I think you guys do really well in integrating those sort of travel stories. And the thing I love about the travel stories is they're like, there's a lot of mateship in the travel stories between you guys. And it's nice hearing you guys bounce off each other and seeing, like, you know, you're both sort of how you both viewed the situation, and getting that leveled approach is really, really awesome. So I really appreciate seeing and hearing you guys chat about those things, as well as sort of, you know, just your general experiences as well, eh?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Nath, sorry to jump in. What's sort of your profession?
Yeah, so I'm a project manager, so I don't have any sort of mental health background at all. So I do owe a lot to, you know, who I am today, and I'm not just saying it because he's sitting next to me, but...
Yeah. Definitely. But at the same time, man, I could imagine project management, that's pretty stressful, I could imagine.
Yeah, definitely. And I think where sort of Marvin had a big impact on me was, you know, a few years ago, this was even before I got into full-time work in the 2018, everyone's probably gone through this as well, had a breakup with their girlfriend. And I was still someone who was not open with their feelings. So that's, you mentioned the word change a bit earlier. That's something that I've realized as well, that it's not too late to sort of, you know, change how you express yourself. You may think, oh, this is how I am, so this is how it's always going to be. But I've definitely learned through Marvin that, you know, it's definitely a great thing, and it's a great learning tool. You learn much more about yourself. And yeah, I mean, it's changed our friendship as well. Like, I would say, you know, we were always good mates. We've known each other for a while, but now that, you know, I can definitely say I'm way more open as a person, that, you know, our friendship has changed. It's just a different dynamic now than it ever has been. So yeah, I've got a lot to thank to Marvin for sort of teaching me his ways.
Yeah, that's, oh man, that's so awesome, dude. That's really awesome. And sort of to put a lighthearted spin on that, you did touch on a couple episodes where people did think that you boys were emotionally involved with each other. Can you elaborate on that story for the old hermit listeners for me?
Yeah. So I guess in our episode, we did go through a couple of reasons, but we have been sort of, a lot of people we've met while we're traveling are always like, oh, you guys are so cute together. You know, oh, you guys would make such a good couple.
Do you ever play into it sometimes?
Oh, we're working it for it for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you got to play it to your strengths, right?
Mate, you have to, man.
But yeah, so we thought, I mean, we kind of knew like, oh, why do people think this? Because I mean, obviously the way we behave, we don't really care. We're just doing it for laughs anyway. But we thought it would be a good segment to go into, oh, why do actually people think that? So I'm just trying to think of the juiciest one.
Oh, I want to hear the juiciest, man. Just not too many details. Just not too many details.
Yeah, so I'll go into it and I'll let Marv explain it because he was the receiver. I don't mean
Yeah, okay. That's a good vision for me to have at 6:30 on a Tuesday night, but continue.
Yeah. So one of the reasons was I gave Marvin some tummy tickles, and do you want to explain why?
Surely you were sick.
That was in Sri Lanka, yeah.
Oh, Sri Lanka or Vietnam?
Yeah, either one.
He had a rough Vindaloo.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I think we were at the last day of one of the trips. It must have been Sri Lanka, actually. And I just came out of the shower and I was just lying there. And I think, my stomach was not feeling too good. And I was like, rubbing it. I got told by one of my ex-girlfriends, she says, if you rub your stomach and it's not feeling well in a clockwise direction, I don't know why clockwise, maybe that's how your stomach runs. It'll make it feel better. So I've come out of the shower and I'm just in my stomach's very sore. I'm lying on the bed, just in my towel, and I'm just rubbing it in a clockwise manner. Nothing's happening. And then Nate's come out of the shower. And I was like, mate, can you give my stomach a bit of a rub? Nothing's
happening. Did you at least wait for Nate to put some clothes on, or?
I was in my towel still. Did you have clothes
on?
Yeah,
I had clothes on.
It actually helped, funnily enough.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. It's all worth it. The rumors are worth it.
He's got the magic fingers.
You got to be selfless in certain situations, and if it's going to help your mate feel better, then why not?
Yeah,
there you go. So all I'm taking out of this is that Marvin was the receiver, and Nathan has good fingers. So we'll take it. I'm going to keep it G-rated and say it was a tummy tickle. Nah, I won't lie, man. I won't lie. I've got a mate of mine called Nelson, and we went to uni games together. So I don't know if you guys have uni games in. I think you actually do, because I remember one of the uni games was actually in Perth. So yeah, uni games. Yeah, there you go. So uni games is pretty much like you play sport during the day, and as much as the uni doesn't like it, you pretty much get on the piss during the night. And I woke up one morning, and we woke up. Nelson and I looked at each other. We're both in the same bed and we were in full spoon mode. And I won't even lie, man. I was so comfortable that I wasn't even moving. It was just so, so nice and warm and loving. And yep, there was no
fingers
though.
Who was Big Spoon?
I think Nelson was Big Spoon, actually, which is surprising because he's more of this smaller bloke. So I don't know. But then again, I enjoy being the small spoon. I always get my miso to be the small spoon. So there's no shame in being a small spoon. Okay. You're just the one that absorbs the love.
That's it. Comfort is key.
Exactly.
Comfort is key. That's it. So with you guys, I've sort of just been checking the gram and all that sort of stuff. And obviously you guys are sort of top of my stories now, but you guys are getting a lot of support around your first three episodes. I'm saying you share a lot of sort of other people's stories, like sort of, you know, that must be really reassuring for you boys, having so many people sort of saying how good it is and how well you're sort of doing and how good the podcast is that you've started, you know, like that must feel really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Like it definitely means a lot that even yourself, you know, you took the time out to listen. It means a lot. It's one of the reasons why it makes us keep going. You know, feedback's important. We want to get better. We want to put out good content as well. You know, we believe in what we do as well. So, you know, with that said, it's great to see the feedback. It means a lot. And just to see the fact that people shout it out, you know.
Yeah, man.
It's just like one of those kid in the candy store moments. You're like, holy, you know, wow, this is happening. Even, mate, honestly, and I'm not just saying this because you're having us on, when you replied, you can ask him my reaction. I was just like, what is this?
He called me.
I called him. I was at work.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is too good not to message. I had to call him about it.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%, man. Well, the thing is with me, you know, I always, everyone's, I sort of have some people reach out and that sort of stuff. And I'm super keen to have, you know, whoever on. The whole idea behind my podcast is obviously variety and being a voice for people who sort of need, you know, platforms. Because I always find, and it sort of comes with me sort of hearing a lot of people get ripped off in sort of mainstream media. Like they might say something that, yeah, it sounds sort of controversial or dumb in a sense, but you know, there might be 40 minutes of sort of discussion around a certain comment. And you know, you don't get to hear that in, you know, a 2 second interview, you know what I mean? All you sort of get to hear is like, you know, what they want you to hear. Whereas sort of me, I want a platform for people to be able to sit down, have a free, like, you know, no pressure, no stress, like not bang, 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 just free flowing conversation that's natural. And I think when I saw you boys pop up and I was listening to you guys, like it's not me just being like content. Like, you know, I listened to it and I was like, you know, I took the time to listen to all three episodes or the two episodes that were out. And I was just like, these boys are onto something. And like I said at the start, what you guys are doing is so pure and so, so positive. I couldn't not give you boys a platform. You know, it's the same as like when I interviewed Jake from Tins and Gigs, like just a nice guy really doing good things. And that's the spotlight I want to shed. So that's a reflection on you boys. Like, you know, I believe in what you're doing. I think it's amazing.
Yeah. Appreciate it. And mate, even just like, even in the initial stages when we were messaging back and forth, we could just tell, like, you know, he's a good bloke.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, you can just, I don't know, it's a saying that gets thrown around a lot, but sometimes it has a bit of meaning, and you know, it's a vibe sometimes.
Yeah, man, I'm glad. And you know, that's what I want. So, you know, you say how feedback is key, and you giving me that feedback is showing me that, hey, like, you're doing the right things. You're in this for the right reasons. Like, you know, we're very similar in our reasons. We're doing it as much as we do it for entertainment and do it for others' entertainment. We're doing it for ourselves as well. We don't want anything out of this. Like I said, there's no money in podcasting. You do it because you love it, not because you want something out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. 100%. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So in terms of that, even though I did say like the, you know, you do it because you love it, do you have any sort of, where do you sort of want to take the podcast? Do you feel like you could get into the realm of the interview style, or do you believe that you've sort of found your niche, you've got that conversation going, like where do you think, or are you still just in that feeling out sort of stages?
I think for us, today is really important, well, big one, because kind of, even though it's your your podcast, this is the first interview style we've done. It's pretty early on, and it's definitely something that we want to do moving forward. And talking about feedback just before, that's a lot of the feedback we've been getting, kind of like, it's really good to hear you guys chat and a bit of chit chat, but also it'd be really good, because similar to you, like, really awesome how you have some great mates, and you know, that in your podcast you talk about, and they're, you know, doing startups and whatnot. We've got some really interesting friends as well. And we've kind of lined up one of our mates who's just become a lawyer. He's been studying for about 10 years.
That's unreal.
And so he's going to, jump in. And, yeah, we've just realized, kind of just having a bit of a chat last week, how many really cool and interesting people we know. And, yeah, we'd love to have them on. And we'll listen to this when you release it, and I reckon this is really just really good, kind of the style you're doing it today, and it's big, you know, really something that we could learn learn from. And
that's
stuff.
Awesome.
So yeah, for sure. Yeah. That interview.
Well, I think, I think too, like, you know, you guys are very easy to conversate with, and I hear the conversations you sort of had, and I really want people to go, like, literally guys, even if you pause it right now and just go over to Double Shot Connection and listen. But you have this comforting style of chat that if someone was to come in, you know, they'd feel comfortable. They, it's not weird. And I like the fact that, you know, there's some podcasters that, and I don't like calling people out, and I never will, but, you know, they're sort of only interested in those big grabbing, those big guests. Whereas, like, I always have this philosophy of explore your backyard before you explore the universe. Sure. You know what I mean? You have no idea what you'll find in your backyard before you head over to Mars and have a look who's there. Like, like I said, some of my favorite podcasts are just me and my mates, or, you know, me and Darcy, who runs Bloody Brand Beers. He comes on all the time, and we just chat about business, and there's no agenda to it. There's no nothing to it. It's just mates, you know, no phones, our phones go away, which, you know, how often do you sit down with a mate and, you know, there's, and you know, of course it's going to happen, but someone's sort of on their phone preoccupied, whereas everyone's invested in this chat. Like, not one person is sort of out and about or chiming in and out, and you just get a full flowing sort of conversation, which is like, I think is something that there's not much of that nowadays because of phones and technology, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. And I think a word that you just mentioned as well, platform, like we want to get our mates on,
yeah,
to give them a voice as well, you know, that, and I mean, we haven't gone into the detail of how we'll sort of have them, but one of the thing is one of the ideas we sort of had was put the option on them, you know, what topic do you want to discuss on our podcast? And that sort of goes back to the whole thing of having open and honest conversations rather than us driving it. They can drive it and see where it goes, and some bit of a different style, I guess, that we're willing to try and see where that goes too.
Yeah, I sort of view it as, and it's sort of something I've been thinking about lately, actually. Like, when you're an interview style podcaster, and this is coming from someone who, like, I'm still only just touching the surface in that, you know, I've only been doing this for a year, but I look at it like a rally car, you know. You could be the driver, which is great, you know, you drive the conversation, and that's fantastic, or you could be the navigator, and the navigator is just the person who sort of directs, but the driver's doing all the work. And when I feel like someone comes on, you want to be the navigator. So I look at myself as someone who navigates the conversation, but ideally I want my guest to be the one steering the ship. It's about them. You know, I always take in that sort of idea of, it's not about me. Like, this podcast isn't about me. It's about other people and sort of hearing other people's stories. And, you know, people sort of get an understanding of me and my solo ones. And if that's not really people's style, that's cool. But I love the fact that I get to navigate this person through sort of, you know, there's times where I'll ask a question and I can see them just going, oh, I've never thought about it this way. And, you know, I'm realistically only coming out with things because, you know, I'm sort of navigating them and they're exploring them themselves. And that's why I think you get such good flowing conversations in this sort of platform, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And I just noticed as well that, have you got a tattoo on your forearm?
Yes, I do, mate. I've got a snake and a little butterfly there.
You're part of the forearm tattoo club. Surely we extended.
What have we got, boys? Show us.
Mate, we've got matching. Hey. I've got a jumper on, but we've both.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Nice. So, because you mentioned this story in the podcast, didn't you? The matching tattoos. Go for it, mate. I want to hear it.
All right. Well, I'll just roll my sleeve up. So should we show them quickly?
Go the match.
I'm struggling.
You can see it, but there you go.
Yeah.
Love it. That's unreal. What is it?
Yeah. So I'll start off with it. I mean, we both have a shared meaning, and then I also have a personal meaning, and then he has his personal meaning. So the design is a lion wrapped in the island of Sri Lanka. The reason why it's wrapped in the island of Sri Lanka, because it reminds us of the time of where it was. And the, I guess you could call it an impact moment for us, was that we were there during the Easter terrorist attacks. We were actually leaving Colombo that morning. Yeah. So we were only about 5 to 10 minutes away. And the interesting thing was, we didn't even know it was happening at the time. We were trying to organize an Uber out of there, and the Uber driver was like, oh, sorry, we can't take you. And we thought he was taking the piss. Actual fact, you know, there was terrorist attacks like 10 minutes away. And the crazy thing was for us is that we only just walked past those places the night before. So we were like, well, shit, what if we walk past, and not to sound dramatic, but the thought just went through our head that what if we decide we were too tired that day and we wanted to walk past them that morning? That could have been us. And we didn't really realize the gravity of the situation until people back home started messaging us saying, oh, are you guys all right? Like, you guys are in Sri Lanka and there's just been some bombings and things like that. So as the trip went on, we kind of processed the situation, had a chat about it, like, wow, this is what actually happened. And we kind of just floated the idea of getting a tattoo, but it goes back to having that thought and acting on it. So that's what we did. So,
man, well, that's so, like, you know, you even say, like, you know, not being dramatic, but if you're involved in a situation like that, man, nothing's dramatic. Like, it's you're a split decision, like you just said, about being involved in that. Like, that's, you know, that's wild. That's honestly wild. And far out, man. That's, yeah, fuck.
Yeah. So the line design came from was that it was towards the end of the trip and the local beer is actually Lion Beer. And so, mate, there was a quote on the back of the beer bottle that I really liked. And that's why I was like, mate, that's why I'm getting the line. So
very inspirational quote.
I'll actually find it on my phone and read it out. So while I find that, I'll get Marv to explain his bit on
why he liked it. This is the benefit of having two people. You can have one researching, one talking. How good. I need to do this more often.
Yeah. So for me, Nath came up with that idea of the island wrapped around and then having the line inside of it. And I was like, yeah, that's a really good idea. As he said, the beer, I think he was drinking the beer and the back of the label was facing me, or maybe it was the other way around actually, because he had the quote. And I was like, yeah, that's an amazing idea. So we got those tattoos, and also I'm a Leo as well. So,
it worked wonders.
Yeah. I think Nate's found the quote there. So
I'll read it out. So who would have thought that beer could be so inspiring? But here we go. So it says, discover a new you. It's a world full of opportunities waiting to be grabbed. Go ahead and take them. Explore your potential. Lead others to new ideas. Push yourself to greater heights. There is a whole new frontier to be conquered. Discover the lion in you.
Can we appreciate the fact that that is on a beer?
I know, right?
That is prolific. How is that on a beer?
Yeah. No idea. Show them the photo.
See if the photo comes up.
Yeah.
There you go. There's a bit of glare, but.
Oh, nice. That's wild to have that on a beer. So, you know what's really cool about that whole situation? The fact that so much meaning came from, and, you know, I always liken, you know, having a beer with a friend is like a ritual. It's like sacred, you know, you crack a beer and all of a sudden it's like in that beer, when you're drinking that beer, it's just, there's nothing else in the world besides having a beer with your mate. And to have that sort of, you know, quote on the back of a beer is, I guess it's funny in that it's a beer, but it's such an important quote that I guess so many people can resonate with as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so good. So you got the tattoos. Was there a lot of times where you sort of had to explain that meeting? Like, is that sort of a story that now it's kind of iconic in that you always sort of have to explain that to people? Or?
Yeah, it's funny because when people look at our tattoo design, they think it's a lion with a Santa hat.
just a Christmas lion.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Santa hat. What else have we got?
I don't know. That's the one that I've gotten. That's what my mum tells me. She's like, "Oh, you could have done better with your design."
Mate, I'll give you. So I've got a chameleon on my leg, and I got it when I was about 18 years old. I was real angsty, and a lot of people were telling me to do things that I didn't want to do because I've always been someone that I don't like being told what to do. I like sort of discovering things for myself. And I got this chameleon, and a lot of people were sort of saying, being a teacher, I had to dress a certain way. And I said, you know, dressing a certain way or not getting tattoos isn't a reflection on my ability to teach. Like, it's about sort of what's in your heart and your head, not what's on your body, sort of. So I got this tattoo, and it's a chameleon, but it's a rainbow chameleon. So obviously it hasn't chosen a color, and it says, change for no one, which is something that's a really powerful thing to me. But I didn't realize until my mate, I was sitting in a staff meeting and my pants had just gone over the chameleon's head, and the top scaly bit of the chameleon's head, literally I did look at it from the angle that he was on, and it looks like the tip of a penis. And I was like, fuck, I didn't even notice that. He literally took a photo and I was like, shit, that actually looks like the tip of an ejaculating penis. So now I either have to wear really long pants or really short pants. I can't do in between anymore.
I've just got to run quickly to the toilet. I know that's
go for it. That's the beauty of the podcast. You got all the time in the world. You can't see if you did an interview with some bloody like radio station, you got 15 minutes, that's it, you're done. And if you have to piss, well, too bad, so sad. So that's why I think I love this format so much.
That's it, mate. Actually, I've got a topic that I wanted to ask you. So back to your first podcast, you talked about Talk is Jericho.
Yes. I love talking to Jericho.
Are you a WWE fan? Because
mate, I am a huge WWE fan.
You are. You look like a bit of either a young Edge or a young Chris Jericho.
Mate, if you called me a young Edge, I will kiss your face right now if we weren't on Zoom. Edge is probably one of my favorite wrestlers. I've got a mate, Curtis, who actually, we look pretty much identical. Like, we almost look like twins. Long hair, all that sort of drama. And we've made a deal that we can't actually cut our hair until there is a fancy dress party where we can both actually dress up as Edge and Christian. That's the deal. No one's cutting their hair until that's happening.
That would be sick.
Yeah, I'm a huge, that's actually probably one of the first, this is funny, I've never actually spoken about this, but the first ever podcast I actually used to listen to before I even listened to sort of Joe Rogan was Talk is Jericho, because I loved hearing the stories behind the wrestlers. You know, you obviously hear their characters, you hear, I guess it's called kayfabe, so in other words, you know, you hear their stories in the show, but you don't really know who they are outside. And I love Talk is Jericho because it was sort of undressing them as wrestlers and who they are as people. And some of the interviews on there were just phenomenal. And that's sort of where I was like, you know, I want to do that with musicians and athletes and all this sort of jazz, you know? So like, that's actually, yeah, one of the first ever podcasts that sort of inspired me. So yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Do you watch AEW?
I fucking love AEW, my man. I love it so much. How do you watch AEW?
Reminds me of WCW.
Yes, exactly right. And just the stars that they're getting, like the Kenny Omegas, even just having Jericho there, Young Bucks, the talent goes on. And I think where they've really relished is, you know, they could have gone one of two ways when the Corona thing happened. They could have started creating weird sort of drama like WWE did, or they just created this weird atmosphere with the wrestlers who aren't wrestling. Like, it's fucking, it's awesome. It was so cool to see sort of an indie brand take on the big gun of Vince McMahon. It was really cool.
Yeah, it just has that edgy atmosphere again, as if, do you know when you were watching like Raw or SmackDown back in the early 2000s?
Yeah,
and you just didn't know what was going to happen? It has that sort of style, which is why I'm drawn to it, because if you watch Raw, SmackDown now, while they still might have your favorite wrestlers on there, like Brock Lesnar or something, it's just a bit too predictable. So that unpredictability is what's drawn me to
it. Man. And I find too, it's very watered down. Like, I know WWE do amazing stuff. Like, they revolutionized women's wrestling 100%. And no one will ever sort of take that away from them. But like, there's some things that I'm just like, yeah, man, I don't know. What are you doing? What are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, it's, yeah, Hey, boys, we're reaching 50 minutes. I'm really sorry. I've actually, got to go help my miso with something really quickly. I hate to fucking take this short, but
that's all good, mate. We'll have to have you on ours soon enough and continue the convo.
Definitely. And I'm really keen to have you boys on again. Like, I'm honestly not just tooting your horns. Like, you fellas are doing some amazing stuff and your heart's in the right place and you've got my full backing, man. If anyone's sort of talking about local Perth podcasts, you boys are going to be up there and I want you guys to grow as well. So I guess from what I'm saying is, please don't stop. I say that to everybody. Don't ever stop. Like, you know what I mean? Keep going with it, because you're doing amazing things, boys.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Thanks for having us on. Yeah,
thanks so much.
No dramas. While before we go, where can people find you? Go for it.
Yeah, so Instagram at Double Shot Connect, and then Double Shot Connection on Spotify, Apple, Google, all the major platforms.
Love it. And I can 100% confirm, I do listen to the podcast. It's great. I love hearing you boys chat. And I like I said, please keep doing what you're doing, because it's fantastic and you guys are just so genuine, dude. So it's really cool.
Thank you very much. Chuck us a follow. And
yes, follow these boys. If you follow the Hermit, you need to follow these boys. Please do. Thanks guys. Thanks for listening. You know, it's the Inner City Hermit podcast. I don't need to say it. We're coming. We're not Brisbane this time. We're Perth. I'm all for Perth now. You've changed my mind. You're the first people I've spoken to from Perth that aren't from Bali. So how good.
Appreciate it.
And you're always welcome to stay at our place when you come around.
Oh mate, I will definitely hit you up, because I have nowhere else to stay in Perth. Oh, thank you so much, boys. Cheers. I'll keep you there and I'll say goodbye properly after I stop recording, but thank you so much. Awesome.